in there, but I wanted to close this up by reminding you that in those first verses, Jesus prayed for himself. The hour had come. He was facing the crucifixion. And he said this, I thought about this so much. He said, give me back the glory that I had with you. Now, when he went to the cross, that glory was going to be abused.
That's right.
The person and the presence of God, the Father, was going to have to be let out of him so that he would cry from the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he yearns for the glory, the position that he had with the Father before the world began. There are 650 recorded prayers in the Bible, and this is the most important one because of who prayed it, what he prayed for, and the fact that Almighty God answered the prayers of his Son, and if he hadn't, we would not be here today.
Amen.
Think about that. The most important prayer that was ever prayed is this, John 17. In the next verses, he prays for those disciples who are going to go out with the Word. And we're here today because they went out with the Word and they spread the gospel to the known parts of the world at that time. And in Acts, there's a phrase that says, these men are the men who have turned the world upside down.
Yes.
They turned the world upside down. And then he prays for us.
That's right.
And the last verse, I don't think we talked about it all. The last two verses, he addresses his Father. He said, O righteous Father, and God is all righteousness. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. You see, we have realized that God sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would have eternal life. And Jesus is mentioning that the world has not known you. The world still doesn't know you. The world still doesn't know God. I said the world still doesn't. The two groups of people, the world and the church. And the church, friends, we need a manifestation of the fact that we are his people. It needs to shine from us. Does everybody agree with that?
Amen.
We need to let our light shine. How many of you, while I'm saying that, would you be interested in doing a study on relationships?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would that be all right with everybody?
Yeah.
That's where it's at.
Yeah.
That's where we prove that we belong to him, is in our relationship to him and to one another. And I think I have a printout of about 45 scriptures that have to do with that, and that's not all of them. But then Jesus says, I have declared to them your name. He had declared to them, to us, to those who, to the disciples, to the world, to the, those with ears that would hear. He has declared the Father's name. And I will declare it, that the love, now I want you to notice this. You know, people get tired of hearing about love, but love is the basis of our salvation. God is love. You can't beat that. You can't get any higher than that. And there's no greater reason in the world for us to understand love than the fact that God is love. And God is light. And God is light. That's everything. That the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in you. In this little handout, and we had done this at the police barracks, and I called John and asked him if he could stand it again. He said it's okay. You're probably aware of all of this, but it's just interesting to see this in print and to keep it with you in your Bible and to rejoice over it. I want to start with it, and this seven I am statements of the Bible, if you look at your copy, should be John's Gospel. It's okay for the Bible, but we have one from the Old Testament and then three from Revelation. But they're all I am statements about who Jesus is. Everybody got a copy? Everybody's looking at your copy. Seven is a complete number. I'm sure you knew that. Number of completion. And looking at these, let your eyes just go from the first one to the last, and then we'll come back to the first one. But just looking at these now, he says, I am bread, I am food, I'll feed you. I am the light of the world, I'll dispel the darkness of the sinful world, and you can walk in the light. I am the door of the sheep. And in chapter 10, he says, I'm the good shepherd, and he is the only way that the sheep are going to get to the shepherd. There's no other way. There's no other name. He is the door of the sheep. You are all sheep. You are God's people. Psalms, I can't remember the number right now, but there's a verse in Psalms that says, your people, the sheep of your pasture. You see, pasture is not something that we're, most of you, I grew up in the country. If you grew up in the country where there were cows and things, and you know, you might know what a pasture is. But a pasture is where animals feed. It's where animals live. And it's where sheep stayed. The Bible was written in contemporary terms of its time and its generation. And they're real simple. If you don't know those things, all you have to do is look them up or ask somebody. Because they're very, very simple. The Bible is not a complicated book. We cannot understand some of the mysteries. But still and all, on face value and in terms that we can understand, I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. There's everything that we need. Everything. Now, in John chapter 6, and if you look at that, John chapter 6 and verse 35. John chapter 6 and verse 35. Jesus said to them, or that is those who were listening, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Now, that doesn't mean that you won't go to the table three times a day. That means that you will never desire any other spiritual nourishment and food. He will feed you. A satisfied Christian is a Christian who has the bread of life, and it is nourishing him, giving him strength to witness and to do. And to be what God has called us to be. Bread is food, and food gives life. You can't live very long without food. And bread is just a term that means everything that we eat. He who believes in me. Now, believe then means more than just giving an agreement. You know, to believe means to adhere to rely on, to trust in him. Jesus is all in all. He is all you need for spiritual nourishment. He will never thirst. And he talks about the living waters, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on. Skipping on over to chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus says, find that in your Bible, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Did you realize that light was the first thing God created? Think about that. He created the world, but everything was in darkness. And he said, let there be light. So that the people who would come to him could have direction and see this wonderful light. And Jesus said, I am the light. You follow him, you won't walk in darkness. And you know, to follow Jesus, let me say this. To follow Jesus doesn't mean that you won't have any trials.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you won't have any heartaches. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be like you hear on television, you know, just utmost prosperity. There's one preacher that starts his sermon by saying, money comes. Well, that to me indicates that, you know, it may be a worship of money. We need it. God will supply your needs according to his riches. You'll not lack, but you will have problems. You will have heartaches. I do. Is there anybody here that doesn't have any heartaches, any problems? Raise your hand if you don't have any problems, any heartaches, any valleys. But you see, the reason why we have those is so we can learn to be overcomers. If you're going to be an overcomer, you've got to have something to overcome. And in your overcoming, and this is not easy, listen to me, this is not easy. While you're walking through it, you are to be a demonstration of the fact that the joy of the Lord is your strength. And you're going to overcome. Mary Elizabeth found this somewhere, I don't know, but if God leads you to it, he's faithful to lead you through it.
Amen.
So you see, just being a Christian doesn't mean that everything's going to be just all that easy. But you will have the light, and you can walk in the light of his presence. Chapter 10 and verse 7. Jesus said, most assuredly. Now, when he said that, he means, listen to me. He means, I want you to hear this. Most assuredly. You get that? Most assuredly. I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. You'll never get to the sheepfold. You'll never get to salvation. You cannot enter into the presence of the Lord any other way. I heard this. I can't prove it, but I heard this, and it scared me, that a well-known pastor had said that Jesus was one way. He was, you know, he was one of the ways you could come to salvation. Virtue shaking your head. Did you hear that?
A lot of churches teach Hinduism.
That's right.
Several ways to God.
Let them
well, they need to read their Bible.
Right.
Because the Bible doesn't say that. And we also know that two very large denominations in this nation have approved homosexual marriage. They need to read their Bible. But you see, there's less emphasis and less attention on the Word of God everywhere. I'm talking about like everywhere. You hear me? And that's where direction and wisdom and instruction is in the Word of God. And if Jesus says that He's the door and there's no other way in, He said no one can come to the Father unless I bring him. Huh? That's what he said, isn't it? He said, no one can come to the Father except through me. And God's the Father, God's the author of salvation. And you know, Jesus talked about a great falling away. I want to be a fanatic. I don't want to lose my joy. I don't want to lose my blessed assurance. Do you? Well, you better keep the right company. You better stay in the Bible. You better obey. You better keep good relationships. Because there is a price of this great fellowship, and that is obedience. So you can't live any way you want to. This preacher was saying that, you know, this liberalism, that God is so good that, you know, you get there and he's going to say, well, I understand that you had weaknesses and you had temptations. Come on in, it's all right. That's not true. That's not true. Is it? Jesus said, straight's the gate and narrow's the way. And Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then are your disciples indeed. If his words abide in us, it means they live in us and we live in them. Now, we're not sinlessly perfect. If we were, we wouldn't have a great high priest, but we have a great high priest. And 1 John says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Thank God he didn't leave anything out. God didn't leave anything out of his wonderful plan. I am the door, the only way. I am the door. And if he enters, he'll be saved. Saved, S-A-V-E-D. That's an old-timey word, but it's still Bible. Saved. He will be saved, and he'll go in and out and find pasture. What does it mean to go in and out? You can't just stay in the pasture all the time. You've got to go out and share this good news. If you stayed in the pasture all the time, you never would associate with any non-Christians. You understand what I'm saying? Now, you're going to abide in him, and he's promised to abide in us. But you're going to have to expose your faith. You're going to have to share your faith and your testimony. So you're going to go out, and you're going to come back in. And when you come back in, you're going to find that pasture, because he's going to be there. And he's not going to forsake anybody who comes to him in sincerity. You see, what you confess, friends, is not enough. What you say is not enough. It's what you do. That's obedience. Anyone can say anything, but doing it is quite another thing. And we have to demonstrate our obedience by letting our light shine, loving God, loving one another, and doing what this Bible tells us to do. Chapter 10 and verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, and he did. Didn't he? He did. He died so that we could live. All of our unrighteousness was laid upon him. I love that John and I shout about this. He knew no sin, became sin, for us that we could have the righteousness of God in him. And he didn't become a sinner, but he took our sins. And when he cried out, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" it was because God could not look on sin. And in that moment, when our sins were put on him, there was a separation of fellowship. And he realized that God could not look on sin. And he knew why God had forsaken him. I don't know why he said that, except for us to have it in the Bible so that we could see that God would not look on sin while he took our sins. Every sin you ever committed was put on him. And all the righteousness of God was given to us because of the. That's a great trading post. You know what a trading post is?
Yeah.
Everybody knows what a trading post is? Early settlers used to take their products and their animal skins and things they grew, and they'd take it to this certain place where they'd get flour and whatever they needed for life, and they call it a trading post, not a store. Isn't it wonderful that the cross was a trading post for humanity? He traded our filth for his purity. He took our sins that we could have his righteousness. You see, if we just stop and realize that, I think one of the problems with our weaknesses is that we don't really just stop and think, yeah, man, whoa, look at that again. And that's what we call meditation, thinking on the riches and the goodness and the mercy of our God, past descriptions. I hope y'all did this. Y'all sign those cards. Did everybody sign the card? Sometimes the card, did the cards get back there? Okay. Now, Grandma's daughter needs a card. She's doing better. She's in Georgia. We'll send her one of the cards. And there's always someone else. Getting back to this now. The good shepherd would give his life for the sheep. I mean, in natural, he would risk his life to take care of the sheep. And sheep, you see, are stupid critters.
Yeah.
That's right. They have to have somebody to lead them.
Yeah.
And when it comes to spiritual things, our stupidity would leave us away from him if we didn't have sense enough and direction enough to obey him and follow him. I don't want to insult you. But a sheep is somebody that has to be led. Now, a goat will go out. I think I shared this with you, and I can't remember where I... Oh, yes, in a little book. It's such a wonderful book Tony Evans wrote where he says, God is more than enough. You need to buy it. It cost about $7 at Walmart. One of the best things I ever picked up. It's all about the 23rd Psalm. But he said that sheep are stupid, and that's why they don't have any defense. You know, they're just kind of really weak critters. Without leadership, he said, that's why you don't find any big football teams named the Dallas Sheep or the St. Louis Sheep. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that a wonderful thing? Isn't that a wonderful thing for somebody to think that up? But this good shepherd, see, will give his life for the sheep. I'm sure all of you, maybe some newcomers haven't heard what I saw in Jerusalem one time with a shepherd and sheep. Can I tell it again?
Sure.
Big open square there, and all kind of animals and trucks and cars and business just going there every which way. And there were shepherds there. They do everything they can to keep it looking like Bible times, and they do a wonderful job. And there are shepherds on the hillside. So I don't know whether these were, you know, I don't know. But what I saw, I do know. But here comes a shepherd with a staff in his hand and 30, 40 maybe sheep behind him, traffic, horns going in there, just, you know, what traffic's like, don't you? It's that way there, too. He got to the corner, got right there where this big open place he had to cross. And these sheep were coming behind him, and he stopped. The shepherd stopped, and he looked around in all directions to see that it was safe for the sheep to go across with him. But what I saw was not one sheep got one inch ahead of that shepherd. Not one inch. When they got to his ankles, his feet, they stopped just like that. And when he raised that staff, they all went after him. And he led them to safety. But not one of them got ahead of him. That's what I noticed. We nearly had a camp meeting right there on that bus. And it was exciting to see that the sheep obey the shepherd. And that's the message, you see. We have to stay with him. We can't do it our way. We can't seek counsel from an unbeliever. We can't find a better way. It's his way. And you know what his way is? It's very simple. Love me, he said. Love the Lord. Love your brother. Everybody's your brother. Love your neighbor. And let your light shine. And if you, I'm going to tell you something. Here's some good news. If you love the Lord with all your heart and you love your neighbor too, as yourself, your light's going to shine.
Yeah.
Amen? You won't have to worry about turning it on or putting any oil in it. The oil's there. If you love God and love your neighbor, you're going to do the things that are pleasing to him. I thought about y'all yesterday afternoon, about noon. I was in a hurry. I had to go to a store and pick up one thing. Just had it at that store. And I was in a hurry. I had things to do. And I'd been working outside and I was tired. So I get up to the express checkout. And for some reason, the person at the express counter didn't know what he was doing. And everybody, after every customer, he'd have to spend for help. And then, when two or three passed through, the next one got to chit-chatting and visiting. And you know what rose up in me? How many of you know? Raise your hand if you know what rose up in me. I felt like I just, you know, just like to get up there and just kick them and say, get on with it. But I didn't say a word, and I remembered what I had said to you. And what I'd seen in this Bible, in patience you possess your souls.
All right. Amen.
And God allows these things to happen to us. So that we can learn. You see, we learn more in obedience than we do in reading.
Amen?
Amen?
Yeah.
We learn by doing it, by practicing it. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. That's chapter 10 and verse 11. Look at chapter 11 and verse 25. Chapter 11 of John's Gospel is one of the most exciting things in all the Bible. You know what had happened?
Yeah.
Jesus told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And he who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. You will leave this present body. You will be taken to a graveyard. If you're not here, you know when the end comes. And people have been looking at for that forever. You know, the disciples asked Jesus on the day of Pentecost, "Will it, you know, what will be the sign of your coming?" And Jesus said, it's not for you to know. And I'm still telling you that, it's not for you to know. If evil and sinfulness and backsliding and terror and trauma and warfare are a sign, then we better look out, hadn't we? But there's always been these things. It's just coming more and more prevalent that we see them and that they're happening in our time. But looking at that, you see, I am. The resurrection's in me, Jesus said. I'm the resurrection and I'm the life. And he demonstrated that he was the resurrection when he rose from the dead. And we will rise also. Paul wrote and says, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Are y'all listening to me?
Uh-huh.
Those that are in the graveyard that died in the faith, they'll get up. And then those of us who are here will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You see, here's another verse that we read over. We read that, we believe that. But if you just stop and think about that, the graves are going to pop open.
Uh-huh.
They won't need any shovels.
Mm-hmm.
Won't need any equipment. The graves will pop open. And the saved will get up. Right?
Yeah.
And then, those of us who are alive at his coming, we shall be changed. And this mortal body will put on an immortal body.
Amen.
And we'll have a body like his.
Amen.
Thank you, Evelyn. Evelyn said, glory. We'll have a body like his. Paul said, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we await the coming of this Savior. And we're waiting. I said, we're waiting. What choice do we have? You can't make it happen. Some days I wish I could, don't you? Is this good news? I am the resurrection. I am the life. He had brought Lazarus back, you know. I've heard somebody say this, and it's nice. It said, if Jesus hadn't said, Lazarus, come forth, said every grave in the whole world opened up. But he didn't want but one to get up, and that was Lazarus. I guess it would be true. It would be worth thinking about anyway, wouldn't it?
Good thing he's perfect.
Huh?
Good thing he's perfect.
That's right. He who believes in me shall never die, but he shall live. Turn over to chapter 14. I've got 1 minute. Can we continue this? This all right? It's just a matter, you know all this, but just a little review, and then we'll start a study on relationships if you're still in favor of that. Chapter 14, verse 6. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Missionary in Mexico said this, and I've told you this before. He said, Jesus said, I'm the way, you follow me, you'll never get lost. I'm the truth, you follow me, you'll never be deceived. I'm the life, you follow me, you'll never die. It's a good interpretation, isn't it? He is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. And let me add this, he's the only way. No name. No other name. No other salvation. There's salvation in no other other than in him. You know, do you ever wonder, there are missionaries all over the earth. There are missionaries everywhere. Why is it that Hindus and Muslims and other religions, why aren't more of them saved? You ever wonder about that? You ever wonder? I do. And I know that those missionaries have the equipment. They wouldn't be where they are if they didn't, because it is not an easy life.
Because they haven't been called.
Haven't been called. You know, this is a point of argument, and people don't like to hear it, but if you'll look a little phrase further over to the first chapter of Ephesians, there's something there. Verse 3 of chapter 1 said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And I could talk to you an hour or two about that. All spiritual blessings. Now, verse 4, he chose us in him before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Oh. Everybody's Bible say that?
I wouldn't
dare to start any kind of dissertation or explanation of that. Would you? If he chose the Ephesians before the foundation of the world, the church at Ephesus, would that mean that he chose us before the foundation of the world?
Thank you, Lord.
Bless his
holy name.
It's certainly worth considering, isn't it?
Thank you, Lord.
Don't write it off. If he chose them. Someone asked Spurgeon one time, said, if you believe in this business of being chosen and election, said, why don't you just preach to the elect? And Spurgeon said, I would if they had a great big white mark down their back. But he said, since they don't, I just have to preach to everybody.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Isn't this gospel rich?
Amen.
Yes.
I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. He is the only way, regardless of what modern preachers are declaring. Isn't that a shame? What do they do with the Bible? What do they do? Anybody know? Are they ignoring it? What are they doing with it, Bert?
They don't believe it.
But yet the Bible says to counteract to that, whosoever believeth in me shall not die but have everlasting life. And those that don't believe in me shall not have everlasting life. Is that all right? Really, it's boiled down, it's Jesus only. We'll finish. Can I do this? There's some good stuff in here, okay? Keep your copy. Keep your copy. That sounds like a school teacher to a bunch of children.